Ask me whatever.
Okay. All right, here we go. Welcome to this episode of Hustle and Pro. I'm your host, Kelly Walker, and our guest today is Frisco Rough Riders outfielder, Steele Walker. How are you today, Steele?
Doing well. How are you doing?
I am great. I'm excited to talk to you. I've talked to you once quickly, but I'm going to get into it a little more today and talk about your baseball season. But first, I have a couple of like quick questions to kind of just get to know you a little better. Uh-huh. So big picture, overall, who's your favorite athlete like of all time?
Yeah, of all time. Man, I mean, I gotta go Lionel Messi.
You know? You're a soccer guy.
I'm a soccer guy. I'm a Euro guy, actually, at heart. Never been to Europe. I feel like I would love it from what I've heard. But no, it's just because he is not a guy who like forces anything, but he's so natural and fluid when he plays. And he's undersized. He's not, you know, the 6'3", and you know, and so I respect what God has given him so much. And so I love watching him do his thing.
Okay. I love that answer. I turned around because I'm in my home office recording and I looked just to see if his book is in reach because I have his biography behind me because my husband and I are both, well, we met playing soccer in college, but we're both soccer fans and Messi is his favorite, which means he's also my son's favorite. So we're a Messi family also.
So wait, who's your favorite though?
Well, I love him also for the exact reasons that you said. I love just his style and sort of that underdog mentality of his size and everything. So as far as soccer, him, but I also grew up as a baseball person. I don't know. Like my hometown favorites, like that I just remember, like people like Nolan Ryan and stuff like that.
Sure.
Like kind of local guys, but I love players like Jordan too.
Totally. Okay.
So
I got you.
I have a lot of favorites also, but so good. I wasn't expecting you to say Messi, but I love that answer. Uh-huh. Okay. Second one is what's on your playlist?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, first is going to be Future, you know, Future.
I've heard of him.
Right. You know, Drake is going to be a staple. He is just, it's just going to be a staple whenever you're in the mood to listen to some good lyrics and whatnot. Lately I've been mixing in a little bit more country as well. Maybe that's because I'm around the baseball guys. I don't know. Yeah. You know how that's kind of a country culture. It can be. And I need some Latino as well in my life as well. So I keep those four rotating, you know, Lil Baby, Lil Durk. I like rap, you know, but I keep a rotation. I can't have too much of one. But my number one genre is definitely rap, if I had to pick one.
Okay, good. See, I wondered if, you know, you never know. I didn't want to like assume country or something, but I like to kind of know like what's in your head when you're like taking BP or something, like what are you listening to? Okay. Right. So, you just are starting as we record this, you're starting a good homestand. And like, to me, homestand is different for you because you are, you know, the local guy. So you went to Prosper High School, right? And then have you always grown up around this area though?
So I'm a North Texas native. I was born in Northeast Texas, small town in Mount Pleasant. And then in junior high was when I came to North Dallas with Prosper. Okay. So I went to junior high school, graduated from Prosper. I kind of consider Prosper home, just because a lot of my developmental years were there. You know, I feel like I even, you know, kind of came into you know, myself a little bit during those high school years in Prosper. But I was raised in a smaller town in Mount Pleasant. So I kind of got the both sides. You know, you get the small town of Texas, and then you get kind of the suburb that's growing also in Texas. And Prosper, the Dallas area is home for sure.
So before the season started, I asked you about, you know, are you excited to play here and all that? So now that you have several games and, homestands and road trips under your belt, like, how does it feel to be playing here?
Great question. it's honestly different than anything I've felt. Because it's a different feeling than when you're off in North Carolina, you know, and you're playing and you have a really good game, right? And not a lot of people may know about it other than, you know, your family or whatever they're following, whoever's following you. And then, you know, you come here, good game or even a bad game, you know that people are like watching how you react, watching how you handle the success, how you handle the failures, you know? And so it was actually like a definitely an adjustment for me, especially like the first 3 weeks at home. because I felt like I was just a little bit uncomfortable, you know, just because I feel like my whole professional career has been in another state,
right,
you know? And so it's like, the only people that are following it is the people that I know personally, but then, you know, you got these people that pop up a little bit and I've grown to love it. I've grown to, it's actually kind of started to become more of a supportive thing instead of like a burden, you know, cause I think sometimes if you're playing for your home crowd, it can be a little bit of a burden, but if you can flip it mentally and make it into something that like, oh, this is my support system and I'm going to ride this wave, it can be actually a good thing, you know? So there was definitely an adjustment just from playing in Arizona so much, playing in the East Coast so much, and now coming back to a place where it's so close that I went to high school. But I'm looking forward to continually using that as like this kind of wave that is a supportive wave for me.
Yeah. Okay. So you mentioned adjustment. I wanted to ask you, rewind a few years from the adjustment from playing in OU to then playing in the minors. So and now you talk about even more of an adjustment now coming to Texas. So what was the biggest things that you noticed? Like if you were to tell somebody, you know, 7 or 8 years behind you, like what are the biggest adjustments that you noticed from college to the pro level?
Oh gosh.
And I'm kind of, if it's hard, if that's too much, kind of, I'm also curious, like specifically like your batting, how, if that's easier to answer, like how did your batting have to change and adjust to that level?
Yeah, no, that's true. Defense is defense. You know, it doesn't, there's not a crazy jump in defense. You know, you go catch the ball, you go field the ball, right? People hit it harder, but hitting is the X factor, right? Yeah. That everybody wants, you know what I mean? And the biggest adjustment, it's going to be a little bit interesting. And I want to explain this and not get too lengthy, but listening to my body. Listening to my body. What does that mean? What does that even mean? In high school and college, there's no listening to my body. You just kind of get up there and you just hit the ball. You know what I mean? You just hit the ball. But as you get into pro ball and you start getting into the realm of like, oh wow, like this guy can overpower me. You know what I'm saying? Or this guy can really embarrass me. You know what I'm saying? Like he really can do that. He can. You have to start listening to what your body is telling you how it needs to do this to handle this task. You know
what
I'm saying?
Are you talking like you're like what you see? Like, are you seeing the ball differently? Are you having to pay closer attention to like how quickly you're, you know, everything is like shifting? Or what do you mean exactly?
Yeah, both of that, but and more. So in college, for example, you know, I'm facing the guy. It's like me versus him. I'm going against him. I'm going to hit his ball that he's throwing at me. But in pro ball now, to be more of a complete hitter, I've adapted this I call it flow, but it's where the pitcher actually isn't the enemy at all. I'm actually one with him. So everything that I do is dancing with him, you know what I'm saying? And I'm listening, my eyes are processing his movements and my body, I'm listening to my body to do what it needs to do to hit this 98 mile an hour fastball. You know, the elbow needs to drop and I need to stay loose, right? I need to stay fluid. I need to stay one, you know? And it, previously it's 90 miles an hour, 92, and you can swing and hit it, you know, but now they're throwing all this power stuff and trying to get you off balance. And so you just have to listen to your body. It's Bruce Lee type stuff, to be honest with you. It's Bruce Lee type stuff. Ask your body.
Yeah. Like be one with be water. Yeah.
Yeah. Be water. How does your body, what does it need to do in order to complete this difficult task? Open your mind. Don't put yourself in a box. What does your body need to do to complete this task? And if you're, you know, athletic, if you're open to it, you'll find some really key pieces that'll help you, you know, complete it. You really will. Your body's incredible.
Yeah. And even those like 8 mile an hour difference, like you said, there's really no way to do that until you're there doing it, right?
Oh, I mean, you gotta be there. Yeah. You gotta be there. Yeah. For sure. For sure.
Well, yeah. I know that you're still hitting. You're hitting it. You're hitting it here in June. You hit a home run into the Lazy River, yeah?
Oh yeah. Almost hit a guy.
Yeah, I watched
the video. Yeah, my boys in a group text on Instagram, group direct message, like they couldn't believe it. Like they're like, dude, that dude almost went to the hospital. I was like, yeah, he almost did.
Yeah, there might be nets out there eventually because of you.
We'll be right back to the show after a quick break from our sponsors. I have been loving using Beachbody for nutrition and fitness for several years now. Let's talk about Beachbody On Demand, the app that gives you access to 1,500 workouts. I use Beachbody On Demand all the time in my home. I use it for everything from HIIT workouts, strength training, to even meditation. It's fun, it's easy to use, and it's affordable. For about $100 a year, which is the price of a gym membership for maybe 1 month, you can get access to all of these workouts for an entire year and do them wherever you are, in the comfort of your home, at a gym, or when you're on the road. To check out Beachbody On Demand, hit up the link in the episode details or email Kelly at hustleandpro.com for more information. Now back to the show.
Your trade from Chicago to the Rangers system included Nomar Mazara, and he specifically is like one of the guys that I watched and my family watched and rooted for here in Frisco. And then there's others that we've always watched go up through the Rangers system, like Rugi and Elvis and Kinsler and Gallo and all kinds of guys. But being kind of that local from here, is there anybody like that that you have gotten to kind of watch and admire in this system that you're now in?
Yeah. When I was in junior high, you know, Elvis was a dude who I was drawn to. He has an infectious personality. I got the chance to meet him several times and a pleasure to be around. You know what I mean? It's sad to see him go. But you know, it's interesting. I think once you approach the destination, the surroundings are never as glamorous as you thought, right? I think that's anything really. I mean, every step you take it's never quite as golden, right? And even that goes for the people as well. But with that being said, I mean, it's good to know that, you know, these dudes went through this system and it's doable. You know what I mean? It's totally doable. But if I had to say one guy in my younger years, you know, Elvis was that dude that I just a little bit, and I think I'm not even alone on that. You know, I think everybody loved that guy.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think he has enemies.
Not really.
Everybody loves him. So then I'm going to put it this way. One of my favorite things about Frisco is watching guys come back through and maybe rehab. Like, we got to see Yu Darvish pitch here and all kinds of interesting guys come through here that weren't even Rough Riders. But so if somebody rehabs through here while you're here, who do you want to play with? Or, I mean, obviously your goal is to get moved up too, but like if somebody gets to rehab through next week, who do you want to get a chance to be on the field with?
Adolis.
Yeah.
No doubt. And I would have said that. I would have said that before he blew up.
Yeah.
We were boys in spring training. I just appreciate his attitude and his just mindset towards the game and handling the failures and the stuff that's so out of your control. I mean, it's unbelievable how much is out of your control. And so, you know, he is able to use that in a positive way. And he's a dude I hope I can be a teammate with for a while.
Was playing in the Rangers system a hope for you, or would it have been just the same if you landed in Texas, like in the Astros system?
I mean, you know, being in the Rangers system obviously is ideal. You know what I'm saying? It's ideal. I'm thankful that my mom and it can come to almost every home game. My dad can make it on the weekends. I got my middle brother's here. It's just, you can't ask for more. I really can't, you know, and I just give the glory to God, you know. But it's funny, like, even when a situation is ideal, there's still failure, there's still frustration, there's still disappointment that you have to deal with, you know. But it's good to really look and just say, you know, glory to God, thank God for where I am, and he's going to carry me through for sure, you know. And so Texas was always number one just because we're in the Dallas area, you know. Yeah. So I really am thankful.
Maybe that was the hope, and now you're here, and that doesn't mean you're done, right? That means there's just a whole new set of what's totally. Next and how do I keep totally. Going, or how do I tweak this dream and, you know, work for you. Like, just because you're here doesn't mean it's all easy now.
Totally. We still got to hit the ball. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We still got to hit the ball and try to get hits, you know, and play a game of baseball that is not always fair. You know what I'm saying? And so you're still in it. And I think that's life. Anytime you reach some kind of like destination, it's ideal for a week. And then all of a sudden, you know, you got to get back in the driver's seat. I'm sure you've experienced that, you know?
Yeah, well, I get like stale after I've done something, especially like work for a few years or whatever. I want a new challenge. I want to figure out, once I feel like I figured it out, then I'm not okay with it. Like I need new goals to be set.
So
I want to ask you about goals. Are you, I mean, I can tell by your personality, like you're always striving to like, not perfection. I've never heard you say that word, but just overcome these different challenges. Totally. But like, are you a guy who's setting your goals for your career, like per the at bat, per the game, per the series, per the season? Like, how do you approach your goals for yourself?
Yeah. I don't set any number goals. I don't set any number goals, you know? And I think you can try to set number goals in maybe other sports, you know, maybe. But I've learned, you know, you can do everything perfect in an at bat and you can still be out, you know? And so that makes it hard for me to set number goals because it's going to leave you very disappointed. But I have made a goal recently. And it's going to be interesting when you hear it. I don't know how you'll take it, but it's learn how to fail.
I like that. Yeah.
You like that?
I do. I like that. No, I was just listening to a podcast about like how failure is just a very small piece of how you get to success. Like you can't get to where you want to be without failing and learning what that meant and learning how to get better.
Right. And that goes along to come full circle with your initial question on adjustment. You know, you don't fail when you're younger, you know, at least not really, you know what I mean?
You're naturally just good at it, you know, you just do it and you're good at it.
Don't fail that much. Right. And so, but once you get into a realm of where it's like, you might fail every night, big time, you know, there has to be a skill that you acquire where it's like, all right, last night I just got embarrassed. I didn't get a hit, or I hit balls hard, still didn't get a hit. So batting average goes down. How are you going to process that? And then how are you going to react to that on Thursday when you're right back in the same spot again? You know what I'm saying? And maybe it's an even better pitcher, you know? Right. So there's this learning that I've made my goal, like you're not going to have success every night. So how can you learn how to fail to where you kind of stay on this level roller coaster instead of just this dude who is just all over the place mentally, you know, that honestly is trumps any physical adjustment or physical thing you can do as a baseball player. I can only speak for a baseball player, but that probably trumps everything. So that's my number one goal for sure.
Yeah. That is an interesting goal. It sounds,
it's very interesting,
crazy, but I understand it. I like it.
It's so interesting when you start thinking about like, why is this failure bothering me so much? Why am I so bothered by failing, you know, or by just getting, you know, just not succeeding, not fulfilling my expectations, you know? And it's crazy. Like ego comes into play and pride or expectations, all this stuff that you have that you don't really like know that are there, but they're there, you know? And so it's just good to break down those walls and just kind of be humbled before the Lord and just be like, Lord, I can't do this without you. I'm gonna do all I can. But really there's a letting go. There's a kind of a peace that can come with that. But it's a learning long
season like you have, and that
every
night you like, if you let a bad night get to you, it's, you just can't in the long run, that'll break you down. You have to, like you said, and understand that like, you're not going to have, you can't have the best night every night for however many hundred days you're out there. Right.
Right. Exactly.
Well, I love it. I love your attitude towards it. And it looks like you are out there expressing yourself, like having a lot of fun and doing it right. So congrats and good luck on the rest of your season.
Yes, I appreciate it. And thank you for having me on. I enjoyed it.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.